This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, Škoda expands the ENIAC lineup, Turkey's EV popularity surges, and the global EV forecast is increasing. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show, I'll tell you how complicated it is to reserve a new DeLorean Alpha 5. Look, I'll say it involves crypto and an NFT. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Patreon supporters get the shows ad-free to save even more time and, of course, support the work that I do, spreading the word about the move to clean, green transport. If it's something that you value, either this entertains you or informs you for your work or a hobby or your interest, have a look at the Patreon page at EV News Daily. We'll start with news of the Škoda ENIAC Sportline 85 being added. A few months after announcing prices and specs for the new electric Škoda ENIAC SUV and coupe, the range included SEL, Edition and Sportline trims, the brand has added a two-wheel drive Sportline 85 trim. Let me explain. 82 kilowatt hour single motor powertrain, previously found only in the Edition 85. So that's an alternative to the all-wheel drive 85X. The new Sportline comes with both the SUV or the coupe styling. I think both look great. ENIAC is a real sleeper hit, if you ask me. It is massively underrated. Great vehicle. 282 horsepower from the rear motor. 82 kilowatt hour battery, like I say. The range increases to 354 miles. That's 569 kilometres for the SUV. Now, the coupe will go a smidge, and I mean smidge, 2 miles further. Aero and stuff. Pricing starts at £47,260. That's pounds, that's UK sterling. £47,000 for the Sportline 85. And that is, for me, that would be the pick of the bunch. Big battery, big miles, two-wheel drive. I don't need all-wheel drive. The coupe is about a couple of thousand more. And if you don't need the all-wheel drive Sportline 85X, which is, you know, again, about 1,500 more, I'd give up the motor, because of my use case, and get the range. Now let's move on and talk Turkey. Yeah, Turkey is now in the global top 10 of EV markets. It actually ranks 8th. Now last year, so this is 2024 data, last year they sold 124,000 EVs in Turkey. Last month, just last month, in April, 11,173 EVs were registered. That's more than Norway. It's more than the Netherlands. It's more than Denmark. All quite big EV markets, actually. The growth comes from ongoing government support, like incentives, the launch of the local TOG model, their own homegrown EV, and more charging stations being installed. Battery electric vehicles make up over 10% of total car sales now for the last straight 8 months. Data from the Automotive Distributors Association there shows that April sales of EVs, the way that they actually, it's really interesting. I find it interesting. The way they divvy it up is they kind of draw a line in the sand of 160 kilowatts of power, which is still a pretty decent, you know, 160 kilowatt motor on the front or rear axle. That's still a spicy EV. So sales of under 160 kilowatt EVs up by 76%, models over up by 160%, but still it's an 11 share of the smaller powered EVs. So what's doing well? Chinese company BYD leading the April sales, the local brand Togg also selling 3,500 units. A CEO of New Automotive, I've quoted him before on the podcast, Ben Helms, called Turkey's growth an impressive rise. Noting that its EV market stands out in Europe, he pointed to government policy, consumer support for local brands, more model options, and rising fuel prices. Given the strong foundations, we expect to see more growth in Turkey as an EV market. Okay, let's talk about the market share of EV sales in the United States. And Bernstein sees a big EV share by the end of the decade. And, you know, we're only 4 years away from that. Bernstein analyst Daniel Roska said that the United States EV market is, whilst not growing as quickly as other markets around the world, should hit a 25% share of new car sales in 2030. In a research note recently, he described a year of divergence in the global EV industry. China is advancing in scale and in innovation. Europe is moving forward at a pace as well. And whilst the United States is perhaps going to grow slower than some markets because of recent political changes, he reported that so far this year, 9.9% of new car sales have been EVs, up from 9.6% in the same time last year. The growth was slower than previous years, but data from Kelley Blue Book showing nearly 300,000 new EVs sold in the US in the first quarter of this year. That's an 11% increase from the same quarter last year. So things are on the way up, and according to this report, it should be at 25% by 2030. Let's talk about Alpine. I mentioned them earlier in the week. Renault Group CEO Luca de Meo and the Alpine CEO announcing the first model on the new platform. It's called Alpine Performance Platform, APP. Will be an all-electric version of the A110. It's going to debut at the Paris Motor Show in October next year. The combustion A110 has been the brand's sole model until the launch of the A290. That's the hot hatch last year. That's the Renault 5, their version of it. And now the A390 that I told you about recently. So back to the electric A110. They're aiming for what they say is a dry weight of 1,450 kilograms. I've not really read that phrase too much in EV world. Dry weight is something that you would read about sports cars in combustion world without a tank full of fuel and lubricants and stuff like that. But anyway, weird way of describing electric vehicles. Not weird, just different. I've not really seen an EV described as a dry weight. I mean, there's not much you can put in an EV. Is there? Obviously, there is some lubrication in the gearbox. Apart from that, washer fluid? I don't know. A driving range of 350 miles or 560 kilometers is targeted. It'll use two in-wheel motors powered by what they call very high energy density batteries. Okay, that's as specific as they got. And an 800-volt electrical architecture, high voltage allowing for faster charging and lighter wiring as well. They're planning for an all-wheel drive version as well. Due to space limits, they can't do a platform using a skateboard. So with a big battery fully underneath you, a la, well, Tesla and everybody really, that's making a custom EV, but they want it, it's a sports car, so it's got to be very, very low. So they don't want the height. So the battery will be not in the floor, but rather battery stacks behind the rear seats and up front, but behind the axle line. The electric A110 will be built at Alpine's Dieppe factory. Let's talk about Genesis and the GV90. Now we get to see the interior of it as well. It's looking very, very swanky. Genesis is creating a high-end three-row electric SUV. They've called it the GV90. Everybody seems to be making big SUVs these days, or at least having something in their arsenal. Genesis not missing out. It's going to be their most luxurious model. We saw a concept called the Neolun concept at the New York Auto Show last year, the ultra-lux version of the current crop of SUVs. Now, a prototype was recently spotted testing in California, and that tells us the project is moving forward. The interior did reflect the concept style. So, different colours, well, they called it royal indigo cashmere and purple silk leather, dark wood trim, purple accents are found on the door panel, seats and surfaces. In the centre of the dashboard is a 24-inch, or 61 centimetre or so, just a little bit smaller, touchscreen for the infotainment, the nav, and the voice control. There's the crystal sphere also serving as a high-quality tweeter speaker, but also combining functions in that. Genesis will launch the GV90 next year on Hyundai's new EM electric platform. Specs and pricing and all that kind of stuff I can't bring you because these are just spy shots. Now, let's talk a little bit about Geely testing their new gold brick battery by driving a tank over it. I've watched this video a couple of times and I think this is the real deal. Obviously, they're only going to show it in a good light, but they genuinely do have a pile of bricks on the floor, their battery, which sits on top of it. And yeah, I mean, I can't think how this would be fudged in any way. The tank is a ZTZ59D, a 36-ton medium-weight tank. I presume this is Chinese. Anyway, it's Geely. And so I understand why they're doing this, because China is introducing a new EV battery safety standard. And so the way that China works, the top-down approach, is China has decided EV batteries need to be safe and has therefore declared you will make safe batteries. And so it's kind of funny, a lot of the Chinese battery makers are now going really big on safety, you won't be surprised to hear. And they point out the pressure on the battery was 1.8 times higher than the new strict and stringent Chinese EV battery safety standards. The test simulated extreme impacts by running the tank tracks over the battery pack and crushing the individual cells and groups of 10 cells. Despite the heavy load, the battery pack showed no bulging, no leakage, no fire, no explosion. It was quite the letdown, may I say, if you're expecting fireworks, and the structure stayed intact. Traditional battery safety tests include crash tests, life cycle tests, charging, puncture tests, and things like that. The gold brick battery powers the new Geely Galaxy E5, for instance, produces minimal heat, increased thickness, and low internal resistance, they say. The design features four energy-absorbing sections and a 2.6mm thick bottom plate. Also includes liquid electric separation, electrical isolation, and heat dissipation measures. They're just going really big on safety because, well, they've been told to. Yeah. Right, we'll take a break. And when we come back, going to talk Ford, actually, and why some of their EV investments might be at risk. Stick around. More details soon. Now, that break in the podcast was slightly longer than planned because as I went to hit record again for part two, a very low-flying Royal Air Force plane has been circling my house. It's currently, I'm on flight radar 24 right now. And if you have no interest in aviation, fast forward the next 30 seconds. So looking at the live air traffic map, this took off from Bryce Norton a little while ago. And for some reason, it's flown down to the south coast and is currently doing circuits over Bournemouth and Poole, sometimes out to sea, but I don't live too far from the beach, and going over my house as well. This is a Boeing C-17A Globemaster 3, if that means anything to you. But according to the picture, and being tracked, by the way, by 3,500 people live on flight radar right now, so there must be something special about this plane. I don't know what it is, but it's very large, and I can see from the pictures that I'm looking at, it's got four big jet engines as well. And I know that because it's really, really loud. Now, it is at about 12,000 feet above my house, so I say it's been flying low. I do live quite close to Bournemouth Airport as well, which is a former military airport, I think. Certainly a very, very long runway at Bournemouth Airport. So we do get some interesting stuff landing very occasionally. But that's been making a right old racket because I do record at the bottom of the garden from what is effectively a hut. I mean, it's soundproofed, but it's not going to blot out a jet. So what this thing is doing flying from Bryce Norton to my house, I don't know. But either way, I've been waiting to hit record again. But now we can get back to the podcast. Ford and their Michigan battery park being at risk. Michigan's $2 billion Ford Blue Oval battery park in Marshall is in danger after federal officials suggested removing the EV battery production tax credit that supports it. The plant will open in 2026, depending on a Biden-era incentive that lowers battery manufacturing costs by a third. The credit passed the House version of what is called the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, I kid you not, which is now going to the Senate. Ford's executive chair, Bill Ford Jr., warned about the consequences. And I quote, "Whether you believe in things like production tax credits or you don't, We made an investment based upon a policy that was in place. It's not fair to change policies after all the expenditure has been made, end quote. And I'm very sympathetic to that. Not just because this is an EV investment, and I'm an EV fan, and I want to see battery production all around the world, close to where we make the vehicles. But you have to be sympathetic to Ford on this. They're trying to tread a very fine line of not upsetting the current administration. They've donated a lot to this new administration. I think they supplied a ton of vehicles for the inauguration. Obviously, there's a big political effort to stay on side, as it were. But at some point, you have to be critical of the Republican plans to just strip everything away. Now, there is a temptation to say that there is almost a policy that if Biden did it, the current lot are trying to scrap it. You'd hope that's not the case, simply because it has Biden's name on it, but you have to be sympathetic to anyone who has made really big investments, and now those investments might be going. Ford plans to make lithium iron phosphate batteries at the site. Adding to the problem, Ford expects about a $1.5 billion in tariff-related cost write-down, increasing pressure on the company, adjusting their operations, aiming for profitability. There's changing federal tax policies around, and it's very difficult to make those investments. As I say all the time, the car industry is much bigger than political terms, a four-year term here, a four-year term there. With all respect, politicians come and go. I can take them or leave them, to be honest with you. CFOs and investments in car companies are not working on four-year terms. It's not quite 40, but they're making very long-term plays and bets and investments. You can't change them with the wind. Let's talk about New South Wales government spending 41 million Aussie dollars to expand their EV charging network, with 16 million Aussie dollars from the Minns Labor government and private investment. The program adding 246 fast and ultra-fast chargers in the state, powered by renewable energy. Companies like BP, Energy Australia, Plus EV, Tesla and NRMA setting up the charging locations at 38 locations, cities like Sydney and Parramatta, as well as regional areas like Dubbo, Mudgee and Jindabyne, will benefit from the network and investment. The rollout is part of a national plan to make Australia a leader in clean transport as interest in EVs grows. Scotland is doing its bit for EV loans, and Scotland's been doing this versions of this for a while, and the politicians there have really understood what is needed to be done. The Scottish government is giving interest-free loans up to £20,000, repayable over 5 years, to help individuals, small businesses and taxi drivers buy used electric vehicles. This programme started in 2011 and will continue now through 2025, focusing on those on lower incomes and facing rising living costs. Managed by the Energy Saving Trust, the loans have no interest. Now, that, of course, that is a hard cost to those lending the money in a high inflation, a high interest environment, of course. But it's something that you can do to get more EVs on the roads. It reduces financial stress. And of course, once you get into an EV, you and I know the ongoing fuel and maintenance costs are much lower. Since the program began, over 8,700 people in Scotland have used these loans to switch to electric vehicles. With the new funding, more will benefit. Now, Volkswagen CEO Oliver Blume telling local media that talks with the US government about tariffs have been constructive and absolutely fair. Blume mentioned that VW has over 20,000 direct employees and more than 55,000 indirect jobs in the United States. All these workers are helping to make cars, buses and trucks. He pointed out VW's current investment with Rivian and said the company plans to grow with further massive investments. Again, obviously lobbying going on, influence being used, and VW pointing out, we invest a lot in your country, so please, please try and do us a solid, as it were. And finally, let's talk about DeLorean. And the DeLorean Motor Company is a thing, which you might not realise, but it is a thing. DeLorean Motor Company has reopened orders for the Alpha 5, an all-electric sports car starting at $125,000. Now, instead of US dollars, DMC, the owners of the current brand, are asking buyers for a deposit of $2,500, but in cryptocurrency. So, if you'd like the new DeLorean electric vehicle, you better go get some crypto. To order, customers register on DeLorean's website and create a Slush wallet. That's a digital account for crypto. Then they buy $2,500 US dollars of eligible tokens and exchange them for one of DeLorean's NFTs. That's an automotive NFT that secures their reservation. The initial crypto deposit is non-refundable as well. None of this makes sense to me, by the way. I've read a lot about NFTs. I've watched a lot of videos. There's lots of influencers that have made NFT videos, and I've watched many, many of them trying to understand what on earth am I buying, and I don't get it. DMC partnered with the actor Patrick Stewart to launch the DeLorean Marketplace. The platform manages new orders and allows customers to trade or sell their reservations if they want to transfer them. It's been over 40 years since DMC sold a new vehicle after the original DMC-12 stopped production in 1983, and then they were making replacement parts for the model. The brand these days, currently owned by a different company, like I say. Now, there's been fewer than 600 reservations for the Alpha 5 so far, which we saw 3 years ago as a concept revealed. Production was expected to start last year, but it still hasn't. But they will take your money in the form of crypto and NFTs and all, by the way. Non-refundable. That's your podcast for today. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one. See you tomorrow, and remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.